Hebrews chapter 11 to give a definition of faith. And I just want that today, on this cold morning, and it's cold in here, and I'll only preach for a couple minutes today, and so we can all go someplace and get warm. But Hebrews chapter 11 covers, is of course, the Hall of Fame of faith. And I want us to watch very carefully the definition that's given here. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And this is indeed a definition of faith. And I just want to talk about that for a couple minutes today as we would consider our faith. Paul said, "I have heard of your faith," several times to several churches. And I thought, what does faith sound like? How did he hear of their faith? I wonder if anyone's ever heard of my faith. I wonder if anyone's ever heard of your faith. And so let's go ahead and examine quickly what faith is. In Hebrews chapter 11, follow along in your Bible, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it," this substance and this evidence, "the elders obtained a good report. Through faith," which is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen, "we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Look at verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. We stand in awe of it and ask again that it burn in our heart, make a transformation, that it would again be sharp as a two-edged sword, divide some thoughts and intents even here this morning. Cause again, Father, that you'd find here in this worship service some diligently seeking believers, and we'll give you the praise in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As we look again at this short lesson, I hope, let's consider that word faith. Faith, by the way, is a verb. When I started learning Greek, I figured out that I don't know very much about English, and so I didn't learn anything about English in high school and very less in college. They don't worry about English in engineering school, so I didn't learn any English, really, until I took Greek. And then I figured out I had to know what all these different parts were. So a verb here is faith. Faith is a verb. That's why I'm amazed that Paul said, "I heard of your faith." And he used a verb there. He's heard of a verb, okay? And so what does that sound like? What does that look like? "I've seen your faith." And so faith is a verb. And notice here that we have it, that it is the substance of things hoped for. It is, this faith is, the evidence of things not seen. I want you to know that as we consider that definition, I want to hold up before you here a substance and a evidence, okay? There's 66 books here, and this is called the Word. And here in this definition, it is where our faith rests. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this right here, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by
the
Well, here it is again. And so, again, understand the importance of the Word of God. And when I say the Word, I always remark and love the idea that John introduced that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And so the Word is the Word. That's twice, that's two different names there again, and they're used synonymously, and they each produce faith in us, and faith is a substance of things hoped for. That's still a verb. And the evidence of things not seen, it's still a verb. And so we have faith. We put faith. And so there's another word that we could use, and that would be faithful. That would be an adjective. And if you go through your Bible, you find again the very first use of that was actually on Moses. It says, Moses, my servant, who is faithful in all my house. That was God talking about Moses. The Bible says of God that, therefore, that the Lord thy God, He is God. I like that verse in Deuteronomy's. The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations. And so we have a faithful God. Now I want you to think that faith, this substance, this evidence, God is faithful. He has faith. I don't know if you've thought about that, but it's curious. We find again in to Eli, if you remember, in there's a fellow named Eli, and he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were not faithful, none of them. But he did say to Eli this, I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. Saul was the first king. Suppose you find anything about Saul being faithful? No, not a word. In fact, he was rebellious. He was disobedient. But there's a fellow that came along after him. And there we find the third reference in your Old Testament about someone who was faithful. A man after God's own heart, David is called. And David was faithful and reliable and trustworthy and a man after God's own heart. And so think of these Old Testament characters. It's interesting to me that that's the last mention of a faithful man in the Old Testament. Nehemiah, when he came back from the Babylonian captivity, he found some faithful servants. And he went faithful hunting, okay? He went looking for someone who was faithful in building the wall and reestablishing the worship there after the Babylonian captivity. And he did find a couple, and they're called out. But again, there's not a lot listed as faithful men in the Old Testament, but there's much said about being faithful for you and I in the New Testament. So I want you to put that into your life and think, what is it that I need to do in this day, in this age that I live in, to be counted faithful? Pastor Abersall's retiring here, and before I was talking with him this past week, and he's 47 years down there in Corning, and he has been faithful. And he said, you know, you've been faithful in Dresden up there. How long you been there? And I said, I had no idea, okay? I couldn't figure my math that quick. But I said, I've been there about 20 years. I've been in Yates County now. This February, it'll be 20 years. And to be faithful. And boy, again, there's faithful folks here. We have founding members of this church here. And the church here had been, 24 years, I think, is what we're working on. 26, maybe. But 91... 24 years, all right? So, to be faithful. And let's just go ahead and purpose that we'll be that. God's looking for someone who's faithful. And so, as we consider that as a noun again, or an adjective, we have being faithful. As we consider it as a noun, we're talking about faithfulness. Boy, again, we want to find that in our lives. Paul says some interesting things about faith. I already mentioned a couple of them in his epistles. But in the 1 Corinthians, he said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Our faith shouldn't be in the wisdom of God. I'm starting another college course, and it's on apologetics, if you've ever heard that. And again, in doing that, we're trying to put up a defense of what we believe so that we can defend our doctrines, defend what we believe, that it is, again, the right, it is the truth, and defend it for the truth. And I'm curious, what good is that? Anyone ever heard of Bill Nye, the science guy? I got a new perspective of Bill Nye. He was on NPR this week, and he had a debate. I don't know if you knew this. He had a debate with that Australian guy from Ken Ham. He had a debate with Ken Ham, and he was on NPR just railing about how stupid Ken Ham is and how disgusting it is that Christians believe in creation, and that he has started a new campaign to stamp out these Christians who believe in creation, because they're going to stifle the creativity of America. They're stifling the progress of America, and we've got to get away from these people who believe the Bible. NPR had that on, by the way, on Science Friday. Bill Nye, the science guy. And so I got so frustrated listening to him on NPR that I went home and looked up the debate and listened to the whole debate. And I could see why he was mad. He made such an idiot of himself during the debate. Again, understand that. Where was I going with this? I don't know. Let me look at my notes and see if I can find out where I was going with this. But anyway, when we are doing apologetics to the world, who is it that we're trying to convince of our faith? And understand, there's a whole world out there that scoffs at your faith, that scoffs at your belief in the Bible, and they laugh at it and they mock it. And what turned me and made me interested in that NPR report was, not only do they scoff at your faith, they oppose it. They're against it. They want to stamp it out. They want to keep it out of our school systems. They want to make sure that we don't get a chance to train children at that faith and belief and the things that we believe in. Again, it is, again, looked down upon by this world. And there is some place, again, for us to defend our belief, and even in the world of unbelievers. But here, Paul says it's not by your power. It's not by your ability to put a rational defense of why you believe. Faith comes from God. And Galatians, again, is where Paul writes about your justification is by faith. And let's go ahead and look at one verse. I want to point this verse out in Galatians chapter 2. While we're right here and on the subject again, let's look at that. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. You need to have this verse memorized or underlined in your King James Bible. And if you go ahead and do that, I want you to understand why. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2. In verse 16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law. Is that what yours says? Works of the law? But by the faith in Jesus Christ. Is that what yours says? No. That's what the modernist Bibles say. That's what the NIV says. Says you're to have faith in Christ. And that sounds good, but here it's not talking about our faith in Christ, is it? It's talking about the faith of Christ. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Your faith is a gift of God. Amen. Your faith doesn't come that I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to believe. No, it is the faith of Christ. And so the modernist, again, when they give you this verse, and again, all modernist Bibles are telling you what they think God meant to say, They're not telling you what God did say. They're telling you what they think God meant to say. And here's a good example, Galatians 2:16. They talk about faith in Christ. No. It's the faith of Christ that's a subject in this verse. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ again, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And so Paul here and explained to the Galatians that faith is crucial to, again, our salvation. He goes on in Philippians, he talks about the joy in faith. In Ephesians, he talks about, I have heard of your faith. In Colossians, he says, I have heard of your faith. And again, it's very interesting to note the meaning of that. In Thessalonians, he talks about the work of faith. He talks about them perfecting that which is lacking in their faith. And he talks about their faith to be growing. And so, again, understand that we're looking for a faith that will grow. In Timothy, he says, my son in the faith. To Titus, he says, my son after the common faith. And so Paul, in writing his epistles, talks about this faith as, again, an object. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. And look at it as a substance of things hoped for. And an evidence of things not seen. You have faith. Remember what Jesus said, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? He's going to find a church, but I don't know if he's going to find faith, and we're still not sure of that again. When I return, will I find faith on the earth? And I wonder again, how does our faith measure up? How does your faith measure up? Let's take a measure of our faith today. Look what it says here. It says, for by this substance, and this evidence of things not seen, the elders obtained a good report. And then it's got a list. This is a hall of fame of the elders, by the way. And it's got a list of the elders. If we had time, we'd look at a few of them. Notice here again that it says, through faith, we, this is us now, we here understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You ever think about the word universe? World don't like to use that very much. They like to talk about the cosmos, okay? I like to talk about the universe. What does that mean? Universe. One word, okay? One phrase, actually. A verse is a phrase again. And so, one phrase, and that's how this world came into beginning. Into being. That's how this world, again, in the beginning, God created all things by the spoken word of God. Here we are. He spoke and it was created out of nothing, by the way. And so again, how do we believe that? We believe that by putting together some good art. No, I ain't going to cut it. Okay. Now, I love Ken Ham. It was commented that a lot of people just like to listen to him talk because he's got that accent again. But he presented some excellent, excellent arguments again. But you know, it's not the arguments that's going to convince anybody. And for a long time in my military career, I became an arguer. I would argue, where did Cain get his wife? And I'd go on and on. And again, I could argue with the best of them. But you know, you don't see very many people converted to Christ by your arguments. People get converted because the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharpen that up and use that. And so again, it's not our arguments. It is our faith. And where does that faith come from? It comes from rational arguments. No, it don't, again. It comes from the Word of God. And so again, let's just get honed in on practice and using the Word of God in this year. And understand, if folks are going to see our faith, they're going to see it through the Word of God. If folks are going to have their lives changed in Yates County, it's going to happen because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Your pastor's not a good arguer. Your pastor's not a good rationalizer. He's barely a good preacher, all right. But I got the Word of God, and that's what, again, cuts into hearts. That's what makes a difference. So, by all means, tell people your testimony. But boy, don't forget the verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Boy, again, let's use the Scriptures. Get them in there, because it is that causes belief, that produces faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Again, as an engineer, I love that verse, and I'm writing a whole dissertation on it. By faith, look at verse 4, by faith Abel, by the substance of things not seen, or the substance of things hoped for, and this evidence of things not seen, Abel. By faith Enoch. What a good description of Enoch here. Remember what Jesus said in John 11:25, which is not to be confused with John 11:35. John 11:25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he said this, he said, and he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And for an example, he gives us here Enoch, who never died. He was translated. Notice the emphasis there. And so there's Enoch. And then verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. How's your faith? Let's measure our faith. Let's weigh our faith. Let's listen for our faith. And let's again increase our faith. By faith, Noah. And by faith, Abraham. We go down through the list here and look again at this substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. I don't know if you have resolutions for this new year coming in. I've always gotten the same ones. That way I don't have to get rid of them. I heard one fellow said he got all of his resolutions fulfilled last year. And so they said, wow, how'd you do that? He said, well, it was easy. One of my resolutions was never to pat a wild tiger. And so the key is to write those resolutions that are achievable, you know, is what you want to do. But listen, I don't know exactly what resolutions you have. I could give you some suggestions, but I've stayed out of that business. Again, it gets me in trouble. But boy, again, let's be resolved that, again, we're going to have faith, and it's going to increase. That's called growth again, that we would increase our faith. And you know, faith is going to increase through trials. And we've got trials going on right here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church in this year. There's things happening again in each of the families of Good Samaritan Baptist Church that would cause again that there's opportunities for our faith to increase. Let's let that happen. And let's again find the substance of things hoped for. Where are you going to get the things that you hoped for? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's something to hope for. That's something to look for in our lives. The evidence of things not seen. Well, we need to talk about the works of God and praise Him and rejoice in Him. Even in this day and an age when we see, yeah, I know things are dwindling, yeah, things are getting smaller, things are getting worse, but again, understand, we still need to talk about the wondrous works of God, and they're everywhere, and we need to recognize them, and we need to, again, describe them in our faith. That's what we trust, that's what we believe. Let your faith increase this year. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you that we could worship. Thank you again, Father, for the substance of things hoped for. That's even present in this room today. Thank you for the evidence of things that's not seen. And we know we hold that in these 66 books. But Father, we can hold that in believers that sit next to us here today and see again some evidences in lives. And we praise you for that. And ask again, Father, that you'd touch our faith. May it increase. May it grow. And Father, we'll praise you and thank you for the joy of faith, even as we'd walk into this week, yea, into this year, and give you the praise for it. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. We're just going to have a chorus and we're dismissed. Just as it's almost getting tolerably warm in here, we're going to dismiss. But let's just think, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And then you stop by and see, meet our missionary again and ask 12 questions apiece, okay? Look at the information that's out there. And let's dismiss. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Lord willing, we'll have the furnace working by Wednesday.